您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
China will allow all couples who want to have two children, abandoning its three-decade-long one-child policy. It will further ease China's family planning policy after the country said that couples are allowed to have two children if one of them is the only child in 2013. Here comes the question. What effects will this, policy shift bring to our daily lives, and what does it mean for the future of our nation?
昨天中共十八届五中全会公报指出，全面实施一对夫妇可生育两个孩子的政策，积极开展应对人口老龄化行动。放开二胎会对我们的社会和生活带来哪些影响呢？如果有机会，你会选择生一个二孩吗？
So I just want to ask you guys, what do you think is the intention of this policy shift? Do you think it's necessary to make it happen right now?
Well, necessary is one thing. I think it's a good sort of thing, though. I mean, when you talk about China, obviously famous place, famous for lots of things like the Great Wall, great food, a long history, and of course the one-child policy. So this would be a two-child policy here, which is a good sort of thing, and it's not just been...continuously a one child. Like, it's been, if both your parents were single children, you could also then have two children. Or then I think last year, if only one of the couple was an only child, they could then have two. So it's not just been totally flat out like this, at least in recent history. But this will be two, and I think that's sort of a good thing. Obviously, we're dealing with some population issues here. Is it necessary? Perhaps not, but it's going to be good for people and for the economy and for lots of issues.
Oh, definitely. If you look at the macro picture here, China's society is now the aging society. According to the official data from 2014, China had over 212 million people above the age of 60 and 140 million above the age of 65, accounting for nearly 16% and 10% of the population respectively. So China's population is aging, and correspondingly we have less labor force. And labor force is actually the backbone of Chinese economy. If you have the aging society and compounded with the decreasing labor force, we're going to see, you know, there's a huge danger in the demographic structure looking to the future.
Yes, I think what you've been talking about is probably what a lot of media outlets have been describing as the demographic time bomb. Mm. It's ticking, 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 and it's been going on for at least one decade when we've seen this problem of we don't have enough young labor force to go into society, to go into the job market, to support the pensioners. And yes, I think that's one of the deeper intentions to curb this problem, so this new policy has been pushed out like yesterday. It's big news, and effectively it's dismantling the remnant of the one-child policy altogether. And why do you think that it's happening so quickly this time? Because as we've talked about briefly, that, you know, there was signs of easing up a couple of years ago, and nowyou know, suddenly, you know, so fast, we see that it's abandoned completely. Why do you think is this happening right now?
Well, I wouldn't say it's abandoning completely right now, because, again, as we mentioned, it had been, it had never been every single person, every single couple was only allowed one kid. There had been a couple different exceptions, especially if you were an ethnic minority or if you were in the countryside, or especially if you had a girl as your first kid. Interesting little thing there. But there had been exceptions, and then again, in recent years, if both the parents were only kids, or just even one. So it's not just from, you know, everything to nothing in overnight. And again, this is going from one child to a two-child policy, so it's not as radical as some headlines might say there. But yeah, I mean, like you said, we've been seeing, you know, hints of this for a while, and I think we've been seeing a lot more experts out there, whether it's economists or aging specialists, all kinds of people saying that, you know, hey, you know, this is an issue, and this policy isn't really, you know, making any good contributions nowadays, and actually might be causing problems. So rather than, you know, getting old before we get rich, let's, you know, change things up and hopefully add some population there and get things better.
Well, from my perspective, I think, you know, because the policy has been loosened a little bit since 2013, for both families, they have one child, these two child children could get married and have the second child. That's the policy. But according to the central authority, they haven't achieved the desired result. The original prediction is that there are more than 2 million people that will have the second child in our society. However, if we look at the official figure released by central authority, in 2014, the number is only 1 million. And as to May the 2015, there are only 1.4 million who want to have a second child. So I think the central authority has felt the urge to strengthen the process a little bit. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, because we feel so much pressure, especially those people in living in metropolis, big cities like myself, we don't even conjure up having a first baby, I have to say, because of the financial burden, you know, those down payment, the mortgages you have to see. So
right. And actually, that's the thing. When we've had people go on this, not a lot of people have taken up because it's so costly. At least that's the thought anyway.
Yeah. I just want to ask you guys another question. What do you think or what you predict is going to be the effect of a policy like this? Because so far, we're only seeing this on the central level. Of course, in the near future, we'll see how it trickles down through the different levels of government. And what do you think will be the effects that you and I will feel?
From the economic perspective, I think it will be huge shifts. Now the Chinese economy has been slowing down significantly. And with this new policy to be launched, probably sometime starting from next year, we will see a lot of industry might be flourishing again. For example, the property sector, and all sectors related to diapers, children's toys, and because they're rigid demand, mm-hmm. right? If more and more people would like to have a second child, this is definitely necessary. And also about schooling, training, education, I think, you know, we will see a lot of changes in our life.
Those are some good points, but I'm going to disagree and say that we're not going to see a lot of change because, again, as we were just mentioning, not a lot of people have taken up these exceptions already, like when they introduced the policy where if you one of the parents was an only child, they could have two. Very few people, I think it was only like a couple hundred thousand people, took officials up on that offer. So now this will be open to everybody, and it's a good thing because, you know, we will see more births, and people who do want to have a second kid will definitely be allowed to do this once it gets all the way passed and at different levels there. So that'll be a good thing. But for most people, I don't think it's going to be a big sort of thing unless you're in that situation, because not many people have taken it up thus far, and of the people who will be eligible, which will be everyone who doesn't already have a second kid, not many are going to be thinking about that because, again, it's like, oh, you know, having one kid is enough of a hassle for a lot of Chinese parents. And expensive, too.
Yeah, of course. And I think it's going to be great news for those who have been contemplating on this idea but have been restricted by the older policy because they have a sibling. And then also for those who are probably, well, also mothers, I suppose, born after the 1970s, and maybe even the 1960s, it might be a bit of a stretch, but you know, you can go for it if you really want a second child. And I just saw this morning in my friend circles, like, everybody has been talking about it, from my parents' generation to, like, you know, those who are born after the millennium. It seems like a big deal. And, of course, we want to know what you think on this topic. And our roundtable team has actually made the special effort to go do a survey of ourselves, and we've collected the essence of what everybody has been saying around us on this issue. So let's listen to see what, you know, people in the streets and guys want to say about this.
As the only child of my family, I've already planned to have two children, but I'm kind of worrying. If all the families are going to have two children, can all the parents provide good education and healthy environment for their children?
It's indeed a good news for many families who are desperate for a second child. But in the short term, I don't think it will help more families to have a second child because a second child takes more money and more time.
Personally, I don't want to have a second child because under current policy, only mothers are left home to take care of the newborns and only mothers' careers are affected. It can be a challenge for the mother's psychological health and overall well-being.
Wow, that's really interesting. We've got different insight from people. And I think the last part of that little audio clip that we played here really resonates with what I feel. Because having two children will not only mean that you'll have to take double maternity leave, double strain on your body, and it takes a lot of the time of the mother to be devoted to raising kids. And what does that mean for the, well, women's career, mother's career? I think it's a big decision to be made. And without more help, I don't think how we can, you know, roll this out. It sounds really difficult.
I would agree, and I'd actually add something. You know, again, this was instituted like 1979 or so, around that time anyway. So it's been around for about 35 years, and the idea was to prevent population explosion causing problems. But as we've seen, a lot of people aren't taking this up. And granted, today is quite different, you know, 2015 than 1979. But what tends to happen in a lot of societies, without these restrictions, people, as they get wealthier, as incomes rise, and as education levels rise, people naturally just decide to have less kids than older generations. It just kind of happens. People aren't entirely sure why that happens, but this happens. So even if we hadn't seen this policy, we probably would have seen China's population, at least the rate of increase, kind of decline anyway there.
Yeah, I think one of the saddest picture to see here is that it seems the people who were born after 1980s are the only generation affected by this one-child policy launched by our government. Is it such a big idea, you know, for those families to have a second child? Because as He Yang just mentioned, there is huge amount of effort to be put on the baby. You have to feed the baby. A lot of mothers have to burn night oil to attend to their knees, you know, and they have no personal life.
Thanks for being so understanding.
And when it comes to the career trajectory,
yeah.
That's really hazardous for a lot of women.
Yeah.
But from another perspective, I really want to say the financial burden. According to a sociologist who conducted a survey more than 10 years ago, that was actually the situation in Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bring up a child from infancy to 16 years old, the total cost is about 250,000 yuan. And if your child, fortunately, ends up in a postgraduate school, then you have to pay at least 480,000 RMB. That's 80,000 US dollars.
Now, and see, this is very interesting because this goes to, you know, what obligations do parents have to their kids? And especially the postgraduate school thing, that struck me, again, as an American, as very odd because a lot of Americans, if their parents have money, will often have their parents give them some financial assistance or a lot of financial assistance for college. But postgraduate school, that's pretty much entirely on your own in the U.S. kind of thing. And even a lot of parents who do have money may say to their kids, you know, although we do have this, we think you should be independent, so you should do this on your own there. So there's that part. Another interesting thing is now people are considering the cost of raising kids, which is understandable, but that kind of goes against, well, in the past, people wouldn't have done that, but also against the idea of, like, well, you know, should you really be considering doing that? You know, kids are a wonderful sort of thing. You're supposed to have them, you know. How dare you be selfish and consider things like money or whatever?
Oh, that's interesting. I think you guys are talking about the same issue, but from two very different facets as you approach the issue. And I think it's actually a result of the one-child policy. We see today people tend to concentrate so many or all of their resources of the whole family of different generations to be put on that one child. I remember my daddy used to say when he was a little boy, his mom didn't care about about his safety, didn't care about his education, told him that you better work hard, get good grades, make your mama proud. That's all. She did not take him to whatever training course, didn't shower all the money she had on him, because there's four siblings of his that needs to be looked after. So in the old days, before the one-child policy, I think the family structure was a lot more normal or universal, as was what we see over the world. That is, you don't pressure this kid to that extent that, you know, you put everything, all the hopes on that one kid.
Exactly. This kind of inverse pyramid that people talk about, where you have, you know, the two sets of grandparents, the two parents, all on this one little kid there. So that's a lot of pressure, but it's it goes both ways. It's also this, you know, they're putting way too much on. They're kind of showering them, like over-spoiling them in some ways. Like an example that I've seen, you see parents carrying their kid's backpack, and on the subway, for example, you're supposed to give up your seat for kids. To me, that's ridiculous. Old people, you know, sick people, pregnant people, yes, you should do that. But kids, no, you should give it up to the parents, and then the kids should sit on the laps.
Okay, and I don't agree with you 100% with the only child of the family being spoiled, that is it. Because I think there's the other side of the story, which is also the pressure. Right. Your grandparents, your parents, everybody in the family not only put you know, all their hopes on you, all their resources on you, and there's also this expectation that you should do something special, you should be able to achieve the unachievable and make them proud. And if there were a whole bunch of kids, a bunch of siblings sitting with you, would you feel that pressure? Okay,
no.
That sounds like an outcry for myself. Yes, I'm one of kids of one-child policy.
But see, that's fair. I mean, like you said, you know, as I mentioned, it is all these resources, but as you said, it's the pressure, too. And in a more normal situation where you could have as many kids, or when people did have multiple kids, it wouldn't be like that. You wouldn't be giving them too much, and you wouldn't be demanding too much. It would just be more balanced.
So I think two children probably is the optimal answer to this question. But looking to the future, if I was born after 1980s, and if I decided to have a second child in the future, well, consider this picture. Two children, you know, me and my wife will have to look after my two children and four parents. Mm-hmm. And if fortunate enough, some of my grandparents are still alive, we have to look after them as well. So this is great social burden if you can feel this pressure.
Yeah, it's a very heavy and hardly sweet burden.
Mm. And another thing is how to look after the second child. I mean, for example, when the second child is born, my parents are old enough. Probably they won't have the energy to look after my second child.
Yes, we will talk more about this big news of effectively the ending of one-child policy in China after this break. Stay tuned to learn more about it.
Join us every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM for Roundtable, making sense so you don't have to.
This is Roundtable. I'm your host He Yang with Brian and Luo Yu in our studio. I told you this is big news and people really do care about it, even those who don't have kids. As our WeChat listener W says, don't even want one. And yes, that's very blunt. I get your message right there. And Shi Lu, I think that's your name, says, I don't even want the first one. Can't even think about the second. See, these guys are thinking in a similar mind. And about how what it's like to grow up as a single child, are lovely WeChat listener Mao Xiaoer, hello to you again, says that as the only child, I was very lonely growing up. And even though he or she had all the resource and all the love from the family and extended family, but he doesn't feel that it's all going to make a big difference with this lifting of the ban of having more than one kid. So yeah, I think it's interesting that we're not, at least on our show, we haven't seen that kind of explosion of joy saying, I want to have a second kid. I can see people around me all want to have second kids, or a lot of them want to do so. So I think this is probably one of the residual effects of the one-child policy, because
right.
with these family planning policies, once they've been in place for more than a decade, and here we're talking about 3 decades long, I think the effect is going to be long last, and the effect of a new policy taking place is going to see a time lag too. So it'd be very interesting to see how this whole thing pans out. One last question regarding this topic for you guys is, well, we've talked about the difficulties and the possible case scenarios, what will happen after this continued policy. What do you, lifting the ban, I mean. So what do you think needs to be done aside from a policy change? How can we support these families, or what needs to be done here?
I think financial support from the central government or local governments are definitely necessary here.
In what
way?
We
have to give those parents who would like to give birth to a second child more subsidies and tax cut, for example. And when it comes to the education, I think, okay, let education become more much easier for those families. That's my perspective. Subsidize them, and probably if you have a second child, make your second child the compulsory education expanding to 15 or 16 years, covering both kindergarten and high school. And then if the financial burden will be alleviated to a large extent, I think a lot of parents would love to have the second child, and eventually this will change the Chinese demographic picture here.
Well, Loyu's taking the words out of my mouth. I was going to say they need to expand education as well here, but I'll say that actually they need to not only they shouldn't make it a two-child policy. I see no reason not to lift it overall, because there's a fear, you know, overpopulation, but I think as we've mentioned here, that's probably not going to happen. So they should just lift it, and one, that would lead to a more healthier population growth rate, and two, if for anyone who wants to have more kids, they can go and do that, and obviously there's not many of them.
Yeah, and I'm not a mother yet, but I'd like to say something, hopefully on behalf of some of the mothers, that I think women need a bit more support here. And it's not just supporting women, it's also de facto supporting the husbands when there is more childcare provided, let's say, in the workplace. Although that is still something that's kind of new in the society, but I think it's going to be desperately needed if we do see a lot more people wanting to have a second child and be more encouraging to that.